Thanks for listening to Lighthouse Baptist Church podcast. Lighthouse Baptist Church is an independent, fundamental Baptist church located in Pleasanton, California. This message was preached live in one of our regular church services. If you find this message a help, please feel free to subscribe. You can find out more about us at our website, lbceastbay.com. Now to the message.
Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13. Kind of in between on series on Wednesday night, so it's where the Lord has led us to for tonight. So Hebrews chapter 13, if you need the notes, ushers have those for you tonight. Gloves in hand, all sanitized, set to go. Looking tonight at as unto him without the camp. Unto him without the camp. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8. Can you hear me all right in the back? Am I working all right? Do I need to crank it up? Do you need to crank it up? Yes, we need to crank it up. Is that all right? I'm getting there. There we go. So, all right. You can't hear me down in Santa Clara yet, so you got to crank it up a little bit more. Want to make sure everybody hears. Thank you, sir. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8. Tremendous passage, and hope and trust it'll be a blessing. It'll help and change us tonight, both those that are here and those that are watching. That'll certainly, God will do a great work. There it is in Hebrews 13, verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. His own blood. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for the opportunity to meet together. Lord, I ask that you help us concentrate. Help us not be distracted by the sounds. I ask that you help the traffic and those things be subdued, so for these few minutes we might be challenged, we might be helped. But Lord, if we're really in tune, we can focus on you. You can block out those things from our minds and hearts. So Lord, I pray that you would do just that, that we would be built, we would be encouraged, and we'd make a decision tonight for those that need to come out of the camp unto him. We would. For those that are out, we'll stay out. But Lord, I pray that you'll just help us and challenge us tonight, and we'll leave here more excited about who we are in Christ and what you've got planned for us. So speak to us, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Doctrinal things, and certainly it's got a lot of doctrine in it. The whole Bible's full of doctrine, but Hebrews is a great one for that. But it's not so much a church positional, but an individual positional. It's kind of a paradigm set. It's kind of a mindset. It's kind of a how we view things, why it is we serve, why it is we come out, why it is that you're here on a Wednesday night outside, why it is we give, why it is we sacrifice, why it is we separate, why it is, why we have that kind of spirit, why we have that kind of attitude. And this is that kind of positional message we have in this passage tonight. It kind of helps our heart take the next step. This week I spoke to a young preacher, and we were talking about the young adults and young couples in our nations and in our churches. And one of the things that he was expressing, and I see it also in so many places, generations where they're in church, but they're not quite connected to the things of Christ. Their names on the church roll, they may give, they may participate in the services some, but there's just a disconnect from the importance, a disconnect from a love and a zeal, just kind of a disconnect. I'm saved and I'm kind of tied to the church, so I must be all right. I'm glad there's more to it than just being saved. Yeah, I'm glad I'm saved. Praise the Lord. That is the most important thing. But there's so much more to that. And so the goal tonight, as we look at this passage in Hebrews 13 about getting a fresh look, a fresh vision, and a fresh purpose about going unto him without the camp. So tonight, very simple outline, very simple thoughts. It may look long in your outline, but it's not. We'll go through it quickly as long as you stay awake and keep your eyes open, all right? And we'll just stay right with it. So first of all, looking at our text tonight, verse number 13, let's just take a look. That's the main part of the text. That's the jumping off. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp. The idea of going forth unto him without, or that is outside the camp. So we see, first of all, tonight, the call to without the camp. The call to without the camp. God is, it's a call. It's a challenge from God to his kids. But the writer here, God is speaking not to a bunch of lost folks, but to his people. He's not talking to a bunch of people who don't know the Bible. He's talking to a bunch of Jews who were raised and steeped in the Old Testament and know the law and know the promises and know the prophecies. And they've learned so much, and yet he's speaking to them and asking them to come out of the camp. So he's speaking to us tonight. So it's not, again, to the lost, it's those to his people. And that's the call, is to come out. Let us go there. Let us go forth, therefore. And we'll see what the therefore is there for in a bit. Unto him without the camp. Notice, first of all, and it's, again, very simple, the place from which we are leaving and the person to whom we are to go. The place from which we are leaving and the person to whom we're to go. Yeah, here he is. He says, come without the camp. Get out of the camp. Come out of the camp and come to Christ. Get out of there. Now, that's not the context. What I'm getting ready to say now is not the context, but it is a good picture of what we've done. God wants us to come out of the camp. God wants us to come out of the world. God wants us to come out of the crowd. God wants us to come out of the city, if you will, of the world, to come out of society. He's asking us to leave the world, to leave its philosophy, to leave its place, to leave its intent, to leave its desires, to leave all the things that's so tied up in the world, and come out of that, to leave that, to come unto him. That's why the Bible tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, listen, this is what God says, if any man, anybody who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. God can't make it much more clear. That's a very abrupt, very clear, very concise statement. It says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. God also says, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. It says, that's coming out. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So this idea where he says, in Hebrews, talking to the Jews, he says, come out of the camp unto him. He says, by the way, you have to make a decision to do that. You don't go out of the camp just by happenstance. You don't go out of the camp just because, well, I just happened to wake up one morning and find myself there. No, it's a decision to leave. A great example of coming out of the camp, again, different from the exact context, but when the children of Israel, right after God was given the Ten Commandments, and you know how Moses came down and they had the calf there. They had worshipped the calf. The Bible talks about how they had made a golden calf and they had risen up to play and worship that calf. They had gotten themselves naked and they were drunk and they were dancing, and Moses had to deal with that. And right after that calf, the Bible tells us in Exodus 33:7, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it. Now, the actual tabernacle that God gave wasn't quite built yet, but it was a tent apparently where they worshipped. It was a tent where they gathered. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. He pitched the tent, that tabernacle, the place of worship, outside the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. He says, I'm calling this tent the tent of the congregation. I'm calling this tent, this is the church house, if you will. He says, this is the congregation. So he set the tent up and called it the tent of the congregation, or the tabernacle of the congregation, outside, off from the camp. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord, everybody says, I want to talk with God. I want to worship God. I want to have a relationship with God. And everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which is without the camp. So what they had to do, if they were going to worship God, they had to get out of the camp. They had to separate from the crowd that had worshipped the idol. They had to separate from the crowd that had been drunken. They had to separate from the crowd that had the worshipping those other gods. Had to separate from that crowd to go out to worship God. I say that's a wonderful picture for us today. If we're going to have real worship with God, we can't do it while we have the love of the world in our heart. Because if we love the Father, if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. And so just like Moses says, you've got to come out of that crowd. You've got to come out of that world. You've got to come out of that city to worship me. And so again, we find in Hebrews, he says, come out. Come out of the city. Come out of the camp unto him. Notice the problem, though. The problem of only focusing on one of the two. The problem only focusing one on the two. You say, what's the one of the two? We saw here the place from which we are leaving and the person to whom we're to go. The person to whom we're to go is Jesus Christ. He says, you come out of the camp unto him. Are you listening to me? Come out of the camp, where, class? Unto him, unto him. The problem is we just sometimes come out and we don't go unto him. And if we're not going unto him, it won't last. If we're not going unto him, there won't be any joy. It's one thing to come out. You know, the problem is we only have one or the other, the place or the person. Back in the 70s, yes, the 1970s, yes, I was there. I know that's ancient history for most folks, but back in the 70s, when I was early saved, just beginning to grow in the Lord, there was an issue that separation, as I was taught, and it's right and it's so, but there began to be a mindset of the separation. The outward appearance became more important than anything else. Yeah, outward appearance is right. Amen? I mean, the Bible still says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. So whether you've got too much focus on it or not, it still says that. And so those things of separation and what we're supposed to do. So we find in the 70s, they were separated, so they had, boy, this is how your hair's got to look, this has got to be the length of the dress, this is what kind of shoes you need to have, this is what you, just all those detail things. So they had a lot of the coming out. They had a lot of the come out of the camp, come out of the world, separate from the world. But the problem is that many times, they did not have the focus on to whom they were going out for. Are you with me? The danger is many times we'll focus on the coming out, but not on the focus on who we're going to, just the coming out. And if we're focused on just the coming out of the camp, what happens is we get holier than thou. What happens is when the pressures come, it doesn't last. When we begin to get weary, we begin to get criticized. And so the danger, one danger is just focused on the where. Coming out. Well, we need to come out. God makes that clear. But we've got to focus also on who we're going to. Come without the camp unto him. 21st century problem is just the opposite. We're all about coming unto him, but I don't want to come out. I'm all about coming to him and having a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling about Jesus and kind of seeing the kumbaya and kind of feeling good, but don't ask me to change my lifestyle. Don't ask me to give up anything in the camp. Don't ask me to give up the rock and roll music. Don't ask me to give up my dresses or my pants or my wrong attitude. Don't ask me to get the earrings for fellas out of my ears. Don't ask me to do any of those things. I just want to love Jesus. What we have is the both. We must come out of the camp unto him. So you and I have to look at our hearts daily and say, yes, I need to come out. He's called us out of the camp. Just like Moses said, here's the tabernacle. If you're going to worship God, if you're going to seek God, you've got to come out of the camp to go into there. But I need to be going unto him. Oh, the danger is we get focused on one and not the both at the time. So make sure we're going unto him. That when you're leaving the city, you're leaving the camp, it's not just because, well, I got to do this. No, I'm going to him. But here's the key. If you're going to him, you got to come out of the camp. Because that's where he is, as we saw and we will see. Coming out of the camp unto him. So we find, first of all, we find the call to without the camp. The place, come on out. Get out of the world society. Get out of that world mindset. Get out of that world philosophy. Get out of that world control. But unto him. Unto him. So we find the call. Secondly, we find the context. The context of without the camp. What does it mean? What does God mean here when he says come out or without the camp? What is the meaning? Well, we've got a vivid picture. A vivid picture. The Jews would understand this. As soon as they heard that, they say, I know what he's talking about. When the apostle would hear and was writing the letter and they would read that, they say, I know exactly what you're talking about. Today, us Gentiles, we don't always know what he's talking about. But they had a picture. As soon as he said that word, as soon as he said that phrase, it brought a picture to mind. Is that me that's crackling? We'll try that. You're welcome. And I want us to see the picture and hear the truth from the picture. So what is the context where it says there in verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp? We find, first of all, the Old Testament context. The Old Testament context of that phrase, coming without the camp, is the shadow of Christ. It's the shadow of Christ. Back in the Old Testament, back when they were setting up the tabernacle and all the sacrifices, the blood, the animals they would use, first of all, for the anointing of the tabernacle, for the anointing of the priests, and then for the actual sin offerings, they would take the animal, they would cut its throat, take the blood, and for the anointing of the priest, they'd put it on the finger, the thumbs and the toes and the head of the priest, and put it on the furniture of the tabernacle. But they'd also put it on the different instruments. And then the animal, they would take the body of the animal, take it out of the camp. The blood had been used, the blood had been collected, but they were taking it out of the body, out of the camp, and burn it without the camp. So it was with the sin offering. They would take the animal, take the blood, sprinkle the blood, use the blood, but then take the body and the innards and all those things of the animal outside the camp. In other words, they're taking the refuge out. They're taking the dirt out. They're taking the off-scourging out, and they take it without the camp. Hebrews 8:5. By the way, and that was a picture of Christ, of what was going on. In fact, the very tabernacle was a picture and just a shadow of what's in heaven. In Hebrews 8:5, it says, who we serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. So even the tabernacle was a shadow of what God showed him in heaven. But the animals were then taken out of the camp, away from not just the tabernacle, but away from the people and out of the camp. Leviticus 4:12, I think it's there in your notes. Even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place, where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out, shall he be burnt. Leviticus 16:27. And the bullock for the sin offering, and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn the fire with their skins and their flesh with their dung. So when the Jews, who had been raised with all the sacrifices, and it says, we must go out the camp, they said, I recognize that expression, because that's the words God used. And so it was a picture, if you will. That is the Old Testament. It's a shadow of Christ. So taking that out, they said, oh, I understand now that what we saw there, the going out, was a shadow of Christ. Very quickly, number two, the gospel's context. So we have the context in the Old Testament as a shadow of Christ coming. The gospel context is the substance of the cross. It's the substance of the cross. I get so excited when I just see the whole Bible as one book. It's all tied together. It's the substance of the cross. The Bible says in John 19:20, this title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh unto the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. The Bible says Jesus was taken out of the city to Golgotha. He was taken out of the camp, if you will. He was taken out to the hill just outside the city. They did not want him. So even as they crucified him, even as they killed him, he was brought outside of the cities. So we find the Old Testament context of, the Bible says, is the substance of the cross. In the Hebrews context, where we just read, it's the story of the Christian. It's the story of the Christian. It's God calling us to come out with him, to come out of the camp, to come out of the city unto Christ. Now, very quickly, let's look at the causes for going forth. The causes why we should come out of the camp, why we should come out of the city, why we should make the effort, why we should deny ourselves, why we should sacrifice, why we should make the changes, why we should be different, why should we, as the Bible commands us, to come out of the city and go unto him, why should we take those steps? Why should we endeavor to follow that? Why should I make myself that way? And I hope because you're here tonight, you understand what it is. But there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect on why we need to come out. There's a disconnect on why we should separate. There's a disconnect on why just not being identified with Christ is enough, but to come out of the camp unto him. And so God in this passage gives us a list. He gives us a list. There in Hebrews 13, notice in verse 13, it says, let us go forth therefore. So here it is. He says, here's why we go out. Here's what we're supposed to do. Because of these other things that we're going to see in the list. Therefore, we need to go out. Therefore, we need to come out of the camp unto Christ. Are you with me tonight? Here we go. Here's some things. This is why we can do this. This is what should stir in our hearts. And what's lacking is the fact we don't get stirred by this. We don't get understanding from this. And we just wonder, why in the world do I even bother about coming out? So we saw the call, but now we see the causes. Here we go. Number one. Why should I come out? Why should I come out of the camp unto him? Number one, because of the stability of Christ. The stability of Christ. Look at verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Read that with me, even with your mask on. Ready? Verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and sameness of Christ. The sameness of Christ. He is the same all the time. You say, preacher, why should I come out of the world unto him? Because he never changes. He is always the same. You stay in the city, you stay in the camp, things change. How many have been alive long enough to know things change? I mean, the things that you thought were groovy, now you look at the world they'd say, that's the dumbest thing ever. So, you ever go back and look at the pictures of your parents and grandparents? Checkered pants, striped suits, bright orange striped suits, and you say, boy, did they wear that? Nehru shirts. Anybody remember having a Nehru shirt? I had one Nehru shirt. My daddy wouldn't let me wear it, but I had one. It's like a priest collar. It just kind of comes right here. It's a little dip right there. It's a Nehru shirt. How many remember the wide watch bands? Oh, they had those wide leather watch bands. I mean, not just wide. I mean, they're halfway up the arm. Little watch, big watch band. My dad wouldn't let me wear those, but I've always wanted, I had as close as I could. Bell bottoms. Whoa, bell bottoms. Guys wearing the pants with the flares there, like the sailor pants, but they. Yeah. At the time, that was in. That was it. That was something. Now you look back and say, that's the dumbest thing I ever saw. The things you young folks think, this is it. This is the way it is. This way. If Jesus tarries is coming and your grandkids look at that and say, you wore that? You watched that, you did that, you went where? Be just as crazy. But what's exciting, so if we're tied to the world, we're tied to the camp, it's always changing. God says we need to come out of the city, to come out of the camp unto him, because Jesus never changes. What an exciting thing that he is always the same, the sameness of Christ. In Malachi 3:6, God says, for I am the Lord, I change not. He said, I don't change. Yeah, my children accuse me of that a lot. Oh, Daddy, you never change. But I'm afraid sometimes I do. But Jesus never does. So he says why we should come out is because of the stability of Christ, the sameness of Christ. Hebrews 1:10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. They shall perish. He said, these heavens, they're going to perish. We find stars going dark right now. We find the satellites falling out of the sky. We find the meteors. Not mentioning at the end times where it's all going to be, but just the heavens are dying. Stars are going nova, the stars are dark. He says, the heavens are the works of thy hands, they shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment. The old universe is just winding down, it's getting tired. And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years never fail. Well, one of the reasons we should come out of the camp and come out of the world and not be so tied to the philosophies and attitudes and loves of the world is because Jesus Christ never, ever changes. The problem is, if we get our eyes on people, they change. People change. And usually, or too often, it's not for the best. I'm talking about solid folks, but the time goes on and they just begin to change. We put our eyes on people, and we start finding their faults. By the way, the longer you live, the more faults, more mistakes you'll make. You just put it down. The more you talk, the more you're going to get in trouble. That's why the Bible says, in a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. The more we talk, the more we get in trouble. That's why preachers are always in trouble. They just talk so much. But not Jesus. Jesus, the day you got saved, the day you met him, was perfect. And he's still perfect. And as long as you live, he'll still be the same, always the same. That's so exciting. Say, oh, preacher, I got saved at age 19 and now I'm 119. Yeah, but he's just as perfect as he's always been. He will never let us down. As we get older, as people around us get older, as the world goes on, people's standards drop. As we get older, we tend to let down our standards. We still tend to let down our expectations. But Jesus never, ever changes. I'm glad he's always the same. Preacher, why should I give up on the world? Why should I come out of the camp on him? Because he never changes. And he's always solid and he's always right. So we find that stability. Secondly, we find the security and simplicity of doctrine. The security of doctrine. Back in our text. Verse number 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today forever, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. See, Jesus is always the same. His doctrine is always the same. And so he gives a warning about strange doctrine and different doctrines. See, if we're tied to the world, if we're tied to the camp, how many figured out the world's doctrines change? I mean, churches who are tied to the world, their doctrines change. When I was growing up, even the Methodists thought drinking was wrong and had certain standards of what's right and wrong and homosexuality was wrong, all those things. But my, you look how they've changed. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying they've changed. I'm talking about Baptists have changed. Baptists have changed. I was looking at a Baptist church website just the other day, and their assistant pastor, she was from, I forget where she was from. And many Baptist churches have lady pastors. I don't know how they explain what they, but they've changed. Some of the doctrines change. But God says, no, we just need to come out because of the stability of Christ. His doctrines stay the same. The rules never change. What's right is always right. What's wrong is always wrong. And he watches out for this idea of strange doctrine. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse number 3 says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. I'm talking about the security and simplicity of doctrine. Doctrine is not hard. Are you listening to me? I was talking to a man just this weekend. Boy, it's so easy to get off on strange concepts. Taking the very simple doctrines in the Word of God, what God says about something, what God's position is on something, and then try to extrapolate in some odd ideas and some world philosophies and try to tie it all in. God says, no, you don't have to do that. You come out of the camp, you come out of the city, you come out of that world unto Christ. Why? Because Jesus is the same all the time. His doctrine is the same. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So we have number one, why come out? The stability of Christ. I want to come out. If no other reason, that's a reason just to come on out of the camp. I'm going out to Jesus. Why? Because it's always the same. Secondly, we find, not just because of the stability of Christ, but the strength of grace. The strength of grace. Look at verse number 9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Boy, be careful when people got some strength. When somebody gives you some doctrine, you say, boy, that sounds strange, then it's probably not right. If you've been saved for 20 years and you know the doctrines, you've been reading the Bible and you say, you know, if you hadn't told me, I'd never thought of that. It's probably not right. If you can't get it just from reading the Bible, that's what I always tell folks sometimes. If I was on a deserted island and all I had was the Bible and I had never been taught anything and all I had was the Bible, but I spent the next 20 years reading the Bible, if somebody comes and has to explain to me a doctrine that I couldn't get out of the Bible, I begin to wonder about it because it's just that simple. But let's be careful. But not only that, but we find the strength of grace. Look at verse number 9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established, be strengthened, be set solid, be set sure with grace and not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And just the establishing of grace. Aren't you glad for God's grace? That unmerited favor, that supernatural working of God in our hearts, not with meats. And the meats talks about ceremony, it talks about rituals, it talks about the laws, it talks about routine. And he says, that doesn't profit. Those folks that were occupied with that, those folks that were focused just on the rules, just on the routines, just on the rituals, just on this is how you're supposed to do things. He said, when they're focused on that, it didn't profit them anything. What's better is just living by grace of God, the power of God, and letting God's grace work in our heart. Because those rules that coming out without going to Him, those meats, they won't give you much strength when the trials come. They won't give you much strength when the doctor says it's 6 months and you're going to die. It doesn't give you much strength when the police knock on the door and says, I've got to talk to you about something. But the grace will. The rules won't. The rituals won't. But the grace of God will. So why come out of the world? Why come out of the camp unto Him? Because of the strength and establishing of grace. Very quickly, because of the setting of a table. Because of the setting of a table. I'm just trying to help us understand why it's important we leave that old camp and go out unto Him. The setting of the table. Look at verse number 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. You say, preacher, what is he talking about? The priest would understand. The Hebrews, the Jews there would understand. During some of the sacrifices, the priest got to eat the sacrifice. They would take the sacrifice and the priest would get to eat some of it. That's how it is. That's just how they fed their family and how they fed themselves. Sometimes, in some of the offerings, the one who brought it got to eat some of it also. So they'd sacrifice to give it to God and they'd get to eat some of it. Not in all sacrifices. The burnt offering, it all had to go, but there was some that they got to actually eat of that. But here he's saying, he says, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, meaning, but we do, which serve the tabernacle. So in other words, there's an altar that we as Christians can eat at, that those which serve the tabernacle, meaning those that are still following the Jewish law to be saved, those that are not following the grace of God, those that are still trying to serve by circumcision, those that are serving the law to get saved, says they have no right to eat at. In other words, we as Christians, we have an altar to eat at that the lost do not. We have an altar to eat at that those who don't know Christ do not. He says, come out from the city, come out from the camp unto Christ. Why? Because we have a table set for us that they do not have. We have a table set for us that they cannot enjoy. They have no right and we do. We have that altar. You say, what altar is that? Leviticus 6:27. Well, let's put it this way. Here's the example of where they got to eat. And it says, the priest that offendeth, that offereth it in sin, shall eat it in the holy place, and it shall be eaten in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. But Jesus said in John 6, he said, I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread which I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. You say, what table, what altar do we have that they have not? And that, if I can say it reverently, it's Jesus Christ. We partake of Him that the lost have no opportunity to do so. We partake of Him where those that would just be by ritual and those trying to get saved by their good works have not. We've got a table set for us, Jesus Christ Himself. Glory! You say, preacher, why should I go ahead and leave the camp? Why should I go and sacrifice from there and go out there? Because I've got a table set for me. We sing that song, whoa, there's a table set for me. I'm saying there's a reason for us to be that different and to come out. But we find the table set for us very quickly, the shedding of His blood. The shedding of His blood. We must hurry. We're going to wind down in a second. The shedding of His blood, verse number 11. For the bodies of these beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. So they bring the bodies in, catch the blood, do the sprinkling of the blood, take the bodies back out. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. So we find the shedding of His blood for us. Oh, we talk about it and sing about it so much, but I'm glad for the blood of Jesus Christ. So the shedding of His blood. Why come out? Because He redeemed me with His blood. He bought me with His blood. His blood washes me from sin. That I say, I'm willing to leave the camp. I'm willing to step out of the camp of the world, the camp of the old nature, the camp of the old man, and go unto Him because He shed His blood for me. Not only that, we have the sanctification of His people. The sanctification of His people. Look at verse number 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Boy, set apart. Sanctified means set apart. We come out because we're set out. Are you listening to me? He set us apart, so I got to come out. Of course He set us apart for Himself, and so I need to be willing to come out of the camp unto Him. To be set apart, to come out and not linger. very quickly, because of the suffering of reproach. The suffering of reproach, verse 13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Why go out of the camp and unto him? For the suffering of his reproach. See, that's where the carnal Christian can't make the connection. That's where a lost person can't understand. Suffering for him. The Bible says about Christ in Isaiah 53, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That's who Christ is. And yet we find, Apostle Paul said, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Suffering reproach. Look what it says. Bearing his reproach. Whose reproach? His reproach. I bear his reproach. So listen, when we're serving him, because the Bible tells us, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So while I'm living for him, it's not my reproach I'm bearing, though the devil will try to make you think it is yours. The devil will make you think, oh, poor you. No, it's his reproach. He suffered for me. He died for me. He's the altar set before me that the lost have no right to eat after, but I do. And I get to enjoy the suffering of reproach. Jesus said, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So I need to be willing to leave the camp to bear his reproach. That ought to be a joy for us. That ought to be a blessing for us. Very quickly, we're almost done. The seeking of a home. Why come out of the camp? Why come without the camp, out of the crowd, out of the city, out of the people, out of the world, unto him we come out? Why do that? Because we're seeking a home. Verse 14. For, or because, again, we're tying this with that therefore. For verse 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. No continuing city. San Francisco won't always be there. So many cities of the past and the great histories are gone. It says, but here we have no continuing city. No city I'm counting on forever. No city I'm planning on living in forever. But we seek one to come. That's why in Hebrews 11, 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, listen, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. He warns us, he said, if we're not careful, even when we come out, we're liable to go back. That's what he said. If they've been thinking about it, they're liable to go back into the cities they came from. He said, but no, they've decided, no, they're seeking the heavenly one. They're seeking God's city. And so here God says, when we come out of the camp, without the camp, unto him, because we've got a city that's not continuing. We're seeking one. Then lastly, because of the sacrifice of praise. Why come out? The cause of coming out? The sacrifice of praise, verse 15. For by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Notice how we can give the sacrifice of praise. It says, by him. By him. You know why we have to fake the praise? Because we're not letting it be by him. When he's dwelling in us, when we've come out of the camp unto him, and his blood and his sacrifice, and we're at that altar, and by him we offer the sacrifice of praise. If you've lived very long as a Christian and tried to follow God, you'll know that the best songs of praise comes in the time of suffering. Are you listening to me? The best songs of praise come through the times of suffering. That's why he says, Verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. The best songs of praise come from suffering, reproach, bearing his reproach, and coming outside the camp unto him. Say, oh, but preacher, we'll be the oddballs. Yeah. We'll be outside the camp. But the world won't think we're one of them. You're right. Be outside the camp. But don't focus just on getting out of the camp. It's out of the camp. Where, class? Unto him. Unto him. Unto him. Without the camp. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him.
Thanks again for listening to Lighthouse Baptist Church Podcast. Find out more about us at our website, lbceastbay.com. I hope you can visit again real soon.